Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by the movie Ma. A lonely middle-aged woman befriends some teenagers and decides to let them party in the basement of her home. But there's some house rules. One of the kids has to stay sober, don't curse, and never go upstairs. Ooh, what's upstairs? They must also refer to her as Ma. But as Ma's hospitality starts to curdle into obsession, what began as a teenage dream turns into a terrorizing nightmare, and Ma's place goes from the best place in town to the worst place on earth. Release date is May 31st, that's Friday, directed by Tate Taylor, written by, guess what, Scotty Landis. Wow, Scotty Landis. Landis, who of course wrote on Workaholics, co-created House Party with Adam Devine, wrote on Game Over Man, has been a guest on the ALN podcast, and is about to blow the fuck up with his big thriller, psychological horror movie Ma, coming out Friday, May 31st. Scotty's the man; he's hilarious and he's crushing it. He got Octavia Spencer to star in a movie that's out everywhere. So go see it, May 31st, Ma, starring Octavia Spencer, Gianni Paolo, who was just on the podcast as well, and written by our own Scotty Landis. Go support, baby. All right? Ma, Friday. Go get scared. Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects, so you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably
took it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
the
rest
of the
day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well, I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off the order. Start feeling good. Start living good. Start looking good. Start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up in the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey guys, Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast bonus episode. Holy shit. Bam, 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 bam. Ben Glebe is running for president. Holy shit. Ben Glebe, comedian, actor, voiceover artist. Wow. Game show host, Idiot Test on Netflix, is running for president. And he is trying to get 65,000 donations in 2 weeks to be accepted into the debates, which would be phenomenal because, as Bill Maher and many others have said, we need a comedian to go toe-to-toe with these fucking Trump, like, crazies. And especially Trump, just to battle him in a game of wits, which shouldn't be tough because Trump puts ketchup on steak. Ben Glebe, go to glebe2020.com to make your donations. I've made a donation. Anything helps. A dollar helps. If you just literally go to glebe2020.com and donate a dollar, that counts as a donation, one of the 65,000 that he needs to get into the debates. So do that, because Ben is a smart, funny dude. And if you follow him on Instagram or Twitter at Ben Glebe, you can just see his campaign journeys and get to know a little bit more about him and what he stands for, which is being a voice of the people. Because all these guys that are in office or running are have political ties and alternative agendas, and they're just tied to money and other bullshit. And look, there's other great candidates out there. I think Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris are exceptional. Biden, when he's not sniffing heads, says some cool shit. But Glebe's, it'd be cool to get him into the debates and just get the people's voice going for a change and see how that mixes up amongst the rest of them. So glebe2020.com, $1 is all you got to do. Make a donation and let's see what happens. Shake it up a little bit. That's what this episode is today. It's a 1 hour chat with presidential candidate Ben Glebe. So enjoy this one and learn something. There's some funny too, of course. It's a comedy podcast, but Ben gives us his take on a lot of issues and we just talk about life and people and what we got to do as a country to get back on track. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. This week and next week I'm in LA. Oh shit. No, that's right. Friday. I'm in Chico. Sorry, Chico. I forgot about you. The El Rey Theater, 8 p.m. Friday, Chico, California, which is north of San Francisco and San Jose. I think I fly into San Jose. But come out and see me, El Rey Theater, Chico, California, 8 p.m. Cannot wait. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. Brad Williams is in Houston, Texas this weekend at the Houston Improv. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. And again, I'll be in L.A. for the next 2 weeks after this Friday doing shows all around town. Laugh Factory, Comedy Store, Improv. All those tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. AboutLastNightPodcast.com for past and present eps and your ALN merch. Shop AdamRay.com for all your Adam Ray merch. And email us at AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. And we'll respond back. Maybe read some fan mail. Get you a chance to win some free merch. So many great eps coming up. Recorded one with the Super Troopers today. Kevin Heffernan and Steve Lemley of the Super Troopers. Beer Fest, Judge Club Dread, and Tacoma FD now on True TV. Those guys are fucking hilarious. That app will be coming out in a few weeks. John Renitzi's coming out in a few weeks. So subscribe on iTunes and comment and rate on the iTunes page. And give us a 5-star rating. All right, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a bonus episode of the About Last Night podcast with presidential candidate Ben Glebe.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down?
So why don't you sit down?
Listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Well, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Now you could be the first president to have to do that at the podium for a speech.
That'd be amazing.
It would. Have you thought about things?
Check, baby, 1, 2, 3. Say that in my inaugural address.
Look, it's one of those things where I feel like if, like, same thing with a band. Like, if your music is good, you can name yourself whatever. If you're likable, and, you know, I feel like this way for stand-up, too, and, you know, you could say just about anything if people like you.
Mm-hmm.
So, if and when you win,
mm-hmm.
And you are up there, it's like, pushing the envelope, saying things, doing things, people were like, yeah, well, we put you in, so, like, we're not really going to be mad about you doing fun. Also, I feel like at this point, anything truly different that is fun that's, like, you know, especially coming from a white Jew that was doing anything that was, like, rap related, people were going to go, dude, this guy's having a good time.
They're gonna find my old rap life. They're going to find my
rap track. Right. Oh, yeah. Have you gone back and deleted stuff and looked at? Yeah.
I mean, that's gonna be the lessons that we're going to teach our children. Not, you know, how to ride bikes, not how to code, but just like, oh, no, this is
how to scrub.
Yeah, delete your stuff. Mm-hmm. Go back. Yeah.
But look, that stuff's probably on the internet still somewhere cached, and it's all good. I'm not afraid of what I did. I'm just not asking for fights, you know?
Yeah. And hey, this is an historic occasion because we've had Academy Award winners on this podcast. Mm-hmm. We've had Emmy Award winners on this podcast.
Yeah.
Never have we had a presidential candidate on this podcast. Well,
I'm happy to help you make history.
So you are popping our cherries, Ben Glebe.
This is crazy.
Like,
I mean, it's like,
because it's legitimately happening.
But it's also not surprising. Like, if you were to ask any comedian, like, who out of us would run for president? Like,
we'd say Dana Gould.
Say Dana Gould. And then Jay London.
Jay London.
Yeah, drink 4 if you're playing the Jay London drinking game at home.
Oh, my
also,
God.
Also, Google Jay London just to see your potential running mate.
And then you'll see why that joke was so great.
Yeah.
Jay London's running for prehistoric president.
I like that. I'll take that.
Perfect. No, but and if you listen to your podcast, Last Week on Earth, sorry. And you'll find out, like, you're not just a guy that just, like, you spat out some ideas. You're not a conspiracy guy that's just yelling into the wind. Like, you actually, you watch a lot of this stuff. You've always been so informed. Pay attention. Like, is that something that's always been your deal with politics and what's going on in this country?
It is. I mean, I've talked politics on this podcast before. Yeah. Remember, I just dropped in at one of the improv one time. You guys were like, tell us about the world. I'm like, all right, here's the situation.
Yeah.
And it's like halfway through. I was probably a little buzzed that day, too.
Dude, you always have such a, like, I mean, and this must have started, like, way back when, yeah? Have you always been this just interested in other walks of life that aren't comedy? Like, you seem like, I don't feel like this is something you just go, oh, in my late 20s, I picked up politics, right?
No,
like,
it kind of was, actually.
Oh, shit, okay.
I mean, I was interested in it always a little bit, but really when George W. Bush won the first time, I became interested because I'm like, oh, no, the world's at risk.
Uh-huh.
And then when he got reelected, I was like, I'm fully in now.
You are kind of forced to be extra privy to what's happening.
Yeah, I just feel like it's our responsibility
to
like do what we can to try to help solve our nation's problems and with whatever skills we got, and to try to be try to care about the things that affect the future. And if we can help in any way, we got to do it. And that's the major reason why I decided to run for president. Is look, I don't know if the voters are going to decide that I'm the person they want to be president. It's a long shot. I would be happy to admit, but I just kept waking up in the middle of the night or watching the news and like feeling this heavy weight on me, being like, I think we might need a comedian to stop this guy. And if I don't think anybody else is going to throw their hat in the ring. I don't think anybody else is going to try to do it. And I would just regret the rest of my life if I didn't do it.
Well, the thing about it is that in the one thing that you have that a lot of these other candidates don't, in and we saw that in the debates when Trump was going up against Clinton, where Trump would say something batshit insane.
Yeah.
And Hillary wouldn't hit him back.
Right.
Would just kind of let him go and like, well, that's not what I think and what I'll do. And then she would go into her spiel.
Mm-hmm.
You're a guy where you've done entire crowd work shows to where like this is up your alley. So if someone says something dumb, whether it be Trump or one of your fellow Democratic candidates, you'll be able to call them on it.
100%. You know, he's one of the great trolls. He's the best heckler in political history, and the only way to guarantee you stop a heckler is with a comedian.
Yes.
Or a door guy.
Yeah, can we get the bouncer from the Helium in Buffalo who I saw literally just pick a woman up with one arm and just walk around the club and go, nah, you're done.
Isn't his name Will Smith?
Yes, his name is Will Smith.
It is. I remember that.
His name's actually Will Smith.
I remember him.
He's the bouncer at the Helium in Buffalo, New York. I remember him. He's amazing.
Yeah.
He could be your running mate. Look, at least Secretary of Transportation, because he moved that woman very efficiently.
At least my body man. I'm going to definitely have club bouncers around me.
Is there something that sticks out to you issue-wise that you feel extra motivated to cure? You know what I'm saying? Like, is there something that you feel like, and I think that's one of the big topics for most candidates, where it's like, well, where do you prioritize the issues and what is most important? And I think a lot of people probably gravitate towards someone that speaks about the main issue being something that connects extra with them, right?
Of course.
Like, where they're like, if they're dealing with, not bringing in enough income, like economy, like, employment, like all that stuff, or not having health care for their kids, and that's going to be like a top issue. Mm-hmm. How do you determine what is the thing to put all your energy into?
I put a lot of the issues into a hat. I blindfold myself, and I just reach in.
Yeah, like a grab bag, a
political grab bag.
It's like those grab bags you used to get at shitty birthday parties when they're like, well, we know that the Chuck E. Cheese is, this party sucks because only two of the puppets are working, but at least here's a yo-yo and some now and laters. Now and later.
Exactly right. I wanted to get one of those rooms that blows wind up and you just grab stuff out of the air like cash.
Oh, that'd be great.
That was very expensive. It was very expensive.
How much are those, do you think?
I think it's probably about $2,000. And so no, in all seriousness, absolutely. And I feel like the most systemic issue is what it is on the back of my flyer right here. Like I've got 14 issues on my website and on my card here. Mm-hmm. Most of the candidates running, there's 24, including myself, that are official, like, bigger candidates, mainstream candidates for president. And I'm the only one, by the way, that's not getting most of the mainstream coverage yet. I'm new, but they're really trying to put their foot on the scale by not allowing an outside voice in. I really think it's because they're afraid. We can talk about more of that in a second.
Fuck yeah, it is.
They don't want an outside voice who's going to call them on their shit. They do not want a comedian in there, a truth teller in there. We're the truth tellers of our society. They want another career politician or multimillionaire to come in there and play
they're
the game.
They already have ties, right?
Yes, they're already entrenched. And it's a cyclical, self-feeding cycle where they have them on their air. They elect those people go back on the air, they keep their ratings up, and they do not want to challenge that. And so my biggest two issues are on the back of the flyer: stop Donald Trump and take our democracy back. Taking our democracy back is the number one issue, and it's the most pressing. And the reason for it is because we have nothing else without that. So Trump, and they work hand in hand, because Trump's trying everything he can to erode our democracy, and we need so urgently to do everything we can to bring our democracy back. In every way, the voice is being taken away from the people. So we just mentioned the fact that they're not letting an outside voice in our race, not just a comedian's voice, which would be helpful, but just an outside voice, a regular dude. We all know one thing about comics: we're regular dudes. We travel the country, we eat chicken wings, we get drunk after a show, we talk to normal people, we hang with regular people, because we are that. That's our life.
Dude. And here's the thing that so many people complain about a lot of the candidates running, where they say, like, oh, you're not connected. You don't know what a gallon of milk costs.
Right.
You've been a career politician for how long that you don't know the people? I mean, who's more connected into the people than comedians? We literally travel the country. I know that you've been to...
We eat at Chili's every other week. We enjoy it.
Yeah.
That's how crazy it is.
I mean, who doesn't like Riblets? That was my gay porn name.
That makes sense.
What's your stance on gay porn?
I think everybody has to do what they want to do. I want to keep it safe. That's all I care about.
It's actually a great point.
Yeah.
Because that's, I feel like, the biggest thing with porn is that you hear, like, them not being safe and getting diseases. Mm.
like dwarfism. That's how I caught it.
That's how you got that. He used to be full size. And then he got into the porn world and he shrunk. It's like the reverse of those little things, those little foam creatures that you put in water and they get 25 times their size.
That's what you are.
And so, but in every way, our democracy... Well, that's the clip. So whenever
that's one clip. One clip. I'm taking many.
So in every way, our democracy is being eroded. So they're not allowing outside voices in. Then they gerrymander districts and try to literally carve them around black people, carve them around minorities so they do not get their voice counted. Then they try to restrict access to the ballot. Both of those things will be criminalized by administration. You don't ever do a damn thing to try to affect someone's ability to vote. That's, are you kidding?
Yeah.
That's the basis of what makes a democracy is one person, one vote. So that leads to the other one. We have to ban the Electoral College. Got to take our democracy back by not having it be anymore a system where it's not one person, one vote. People in other states say, but our state is smaller and our interests won't be represented. Your interests should be represented, but they shouldn't be disproportionately represented.
Yeah,
if right. If we have millions and millions and millions more people in one state than the other, they should have a bigger say because it's more people.
And also, it's not that a state's interest is more represented. It's just a voice because
a
voice in California should not be worth more than a voice in Delaware.
Or less.
Yeah.
And it's just arbitrary lines, these state lines. So we have to get rid of the Electoral College so it's one person, one voice. Then big money in politics also is how we take our democracy back because we have moneyed interests are the only ones that get to have a voice in our politics, and that's why it's only multimillionaires and career politicians. They're entrenched. They're people that literally have every issue decided by how much big business will cave and allow at the margins without affecting their profit margins. And that's completely the opposite of what a country should be. You keep wondering why our income gap and our wealth gap keeps widening in this country. Mm-hmm. It's because we do not ever elect a regular person to represent us. We keep electing multimillionaires and billionaires and people who have been in forever who say intellectually they want to fix things, but they don't know how to do it. They're buddies with all the corrupt guys. Once you're in there for 5, 8, 10, 15, 20 years, you are no longer a regular person. You can't relate. You need somebody who cares about the struggles of everyday people because you are one. And that's what I bring to this race. Plus, I'll be a lot funnier than all these dudes.
Yeah, you will, dude.
And I
want that, too. You want that so bad that matters. It mattered in fourth grade when I ran for treasurer.
Yeah.
The kid that beat me was funnier.
Yeah.
And guess what? He had better. Look, I was, I also ran on the platform of like, vote for me and we'll have McDonald's every day for lunch. And then I waited to beat.
That's part of my platform.
But then I waited to beat and said, psych.
Yeah,
and guess what?
Oh, an old psych joke.
Dead silence.
Yeah,
I did not win.
And I will say that as you were making that very impassioned speech, two things stood out to me. That A, Ben Glebe is ready to be a politician because of how well you were speaking. And two, you had that Clinton thumb finger point thing down.
Yeah. I'm trying to avoid doing it, but it's just literally coming out of me.
Well, but it's like you need a powerful gesture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do the fucking like Frosted Flakes. They're great.
You can't do that. You can't do the Heil Hitler. That's much worse.
That went out of style, and then slowly came back, and now hopefully
that was the original Tony the Tiger. They're great. And they actually had to call Tony into the office and be like,
"Das Grat!
What do you mean? I'm excited about the cereal." Yeah, but... Yeah.
So I've been trying to do more of like a point, but the people don't like the point. So I do the point, but kind of like not at anybody. I'm like, another point.
Yes.
And another point. And I kind of do this. I'll do a half mixture. I point to the side and I hold it.
Now,
hold it.
I'll say this too. Oh, go ahead.
Adam and I both come from the theme park world. I will tell you that at Disneyland.
You're Wolverine. Who are you?
The bodyguard for the dwarves.
Oh, wow.
For all the characters. I was like, I was the character host. Obviously, look at these pecs.
No, I can see that.
So. What they told us, because they told us on their first day, you can't point because that's offensive in like one culture. So they did a two-finger point.
Mm.
So they told us to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel that's a very powerful
gesture.
How about
gesture. A three-finger point would be nice.
That's just...
Although two is good because that's like the equal sign of my... Of my logo.
It is.
Ooh.
The equality
How
logo.
Do you design there you the go. Logo? Is that like step one in this whole process?
That was an early step. I just thought of it, and I was trying to think of what we could do, and I wanted it to be simple but yet impactful. Every other campaign, all these campaigns with millions of dollars and the ability to do anything, just have, they just throw some stripes on their name, and that's it. There's no meaning to them at all ever.
And that was a $5 million meeting.
Yeah, they spent $5 million on these logos. And I literally thought about it for a minute. I'm like, I want it to be impactful. I think we could make the G stripes. And I'm like, oh, if we go two stripes, it's red and blue as an equal sign representing equality and no more of us trying to divide ourselves among party lines. And equality starts standing for what our campaign stands for and our country should stand for: equal pay, equal rights, equal protection under the law. Equality. No more we will stand for anything less. We will no longer accept anything less.
And one thing I like is that you will talk about things in terms of like, it seems like now politics is just wait to see what the other side says and then you say the opposite. No one has an opinion. They don't have an original thought. It's just counter whatever the fuck the other side said, and then your base kind of supports that.
Right. Take Obamacare for that reason. There's no substantive reason the Republicans are against Obamacare when the Democrats say, we admit it's flawed. Help us make it better. And instead they're like, no, for political reasons, we're going to overturn it. Overturning it means you take away health care from millions of people. That's all it does.
And that's a fact. And they still say what? What's their argument to that?
They just say it
doesn't work.
There's a lot of costs on business. It's hard on jobs. It puts a lot of restrictions on healthcare companies. But in fact, it actually has created more jobs by millions in healthcare since Obamacare rolled out. They just sit, talk out of their ass. That's they just want to oppose well, it's because, what the black guy did.
It's because they called it Obamacare. Now if they had called it no abortion care. Ooh,
right.
That's something that Republicans could have gotten behind.
Yeah, just rebrand it.
How do you propose?
Even though it does cover birth control. That, actually, birth control helps prevent abortions. So they should be in favor of that. But they're just hypocritical on all these sex and reproductive rights issues, too. They're against birth control and against Planned Parenthood, but and against abortion. If you're against Planned Parenthood, that means you're for unplanned parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if you don't want to unplanned, like, there's no consistency.
I know.
And then once you're born, they care about life so much until it's alive. Then, we're not so into it. We're not going to provide you with any assistance whatsoever.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps and your stride.
By your little baby bootstraps.
On your stride,
little baby bootstraps.
Which was my other gay porn name.
Mm-hmm. Baby bootstraps? Yeah.
Little baby bootstraps?
Yeah.
Oh, which is good. I rented the second one.
It's a cute name.
Bring myself to watch the third.
Now,
I want to ask some.
Yeah,
how do you propose to, because there is this like consistent just rhetoric of soundbite culture and like Republicans doing so much to be like where things aren't fact checked and they're just like this is what it is, like creating this new truth where it's like you can just say stuff and that's what it is.
Trump has really made that worse.
It's unreal that we can even live in a place to where that he literally is like this is what it is, and then you're like but it's not, and you're like but it is, and then we're like but it's not, and then it almost is like making the people who are fact checking him and being like dude, you're like making us look bad by continuing to repeat like that's not right. And he's like, well, prove it. And then you say, and then you prove it. And then he's like, nah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
And then you're like, he's just putting a stamp on the argument and trying to just kibosh it by just being like, you're wrong.
Yeah. Fact checkers are killing themselves.
They're like tattletales. Fact checkers are becoming tattletales. It seems like where he's like, you're just like, well, we can just accept that that's what it is. And you're like, but that's not what it is. He's like, you baby.
Look, it's completely untrue. What you're saying is completely untrue. What I'm saying is true. And I know you're going to look it up on your computer.
But here's video of it. That's not me. You CGI'd me.
I'm much more orange.
I mean, it really. How do you get, you know, whether it's his base or the people that are still backing him, which I feel like are, you know, half delusional, you know, people that truly are products of their environment that don't know other than they don't watch, they don't care to open their minds to anything other than what he is and what he's saying. And then the people that just don't want to admit to themselves that they fucked up. To me, Trump supporters now are like people that shit their pants on a roller coaster. They know they fucked up, but they don't have the balls to stand up and admit it in front of everyone that they shit their pants. They're like, you know, I'm just going to sit in these poop pants until we all fuck up.
They have the balls. Balls are just covered in shit. Yeah. That's the one thing.
And that needs to go on the poster.
But how do you encourage a group of people that won't open their minds to open their minds?
It's a challenge. And so there's a couple different ways. First of all, I think you're right. That's two of the three categories of Trump supporters. One is to realize they fucked up and they don't want to admit it. They're embarrassed. They're afraid. They don't want to realize they were that wrong about somebody. B, they just only listen to him and don't want to allow other facts in. And then C, the third group is the group that realizes he's a real dick and he's a real asshole and they don't care just because they need the policies he's promising and they're desperate. And that's the only group that I still have sympathy for. That group I understand. They voted for him even though I don't think you should ever be able to prioritize your own individual monetary needs or a particular policy, ending the estate tax. I know a lot of farmers, that was very important to them, and the most Trump county in the country. I watched a documentary about it, and that's why they voted for him largely, because they needed to be able to pass on their wealth, and he would promise to change that. But I don't personally think you never should value that over the morals of a country and who you are. If you don't have a base of what makes us who we are, then there's no point in even fighting for it. But I do also understand the flip perspective. Mm-hmm. When you have to take care of your family and put food on the table and provide, the other grander issues sometimes are less important. So I do understand that, and I would just explain to them, we get it, but I promise you, he's a con man. You haven't seen the changes that you want. You haven't seen... You know, we have low unemployment, but we have underemployment. We have the Trump tax, not the Trump tariffs, but the Trump tax that he put on by doing this unnecessary trade war with China that's just affecting the cost of American products or of Chinese products we're bringing in here that we now charge more to Americans. It's causing a huge stress on farmers that he has to then subsidize them. By the way, socialist move, bro. That's not free market to put subsidies to farmers and to put tariffs on things. Both are socialists. So we need to stop demonizing these labels, but that's a side point. So you just try to appeal to them and say, I will change what you need. I will improve your financial situation, and also I will restore us in the world. I will protect American workers and value human workforces and not just give way to automation without even having a debate about where we do and do not want robots to take over. And you'll realize that under my administration, you will actually get what you want, and you'll be proud of your president again. And he'll make you laugh a lot. So we got that.
Now, you talk about a little more money in the pocket.
Last thing. Okay. You also don't need the Trump supporters. That's a bonus.
You don't?
No. He's got a base of 34% of hardcore people that support him. Everybody else. And you need to register new voters. I'm going to do the telethon for America again. We're going to get that back.
That was big time.
Yeah. And guess what? One thing that you did, and I was honored to be a part of that, that you organized and damn near killed yourself doing it, is you did the telethon for America for the midterm elections. And the one thing I loved about that is you did not say, we're doing this so we can vote out so-and-so or vote in these people. You said, just vote.
100%.
That's all we want.
Nonpartisan, partner with Michelle Obama's when we all vote. It was they demanded, and I demanded, it was 100% nonpartisan event. 95 huge celebrities. I hosted it with Olivia Munn. We had like Charlize Theron and Natalie Portman and Chelsea Handler and Jane Fonda and Brad Williams.
Brad freaking Williams was there. How'd you get him?
Schumer. Brad Williams was one of the big draws.
Sure, sure, sure.
And a million people watched, and we took thousands and tens of thousands of pledges to vote the next day in the midterms and to create voting squads to exponentially increase the reach of each pledge that we took for the voting squads. And the next day, our goal was to help create historic turnout. And there was historic turnout, best since 1914 and record ever among youth. And so that's the kind of thing that I would be able to do as a private citizen, just because I care about the country. And all of the people running who are in the Senate or in the Congress or have been mayors of small towns, I don't like to speak to the mayors right now, but the people in the Senate and Congress have not created huge, impactful change, most of them, in the time they've been in there. Yet they're the only ones that get taken seriously. And as a private citizen, I just took it upon myself to try to impact as much as I could. And we can't get the major networks to cover us, which is why we're announcing right now what we're calling the Democracy Challenge. We just are talking about this last couple of days. And I would love to challenge all of your listeners that I'm not asking for your endorsement right now. There's a year and a half until the election, more than that. We do not need to choose yet who we're supporting. We shouldn't. We don't know anything about these people yet. We don't know enough. But we do need other voices in it. We are not benefited by 23 voices that are only career politicians and multi-millionaires. So if you want another voice, a voice of a regular person just in it at this point in the race, before they narrow it down, please go to glebe2020.com right now on your phone while you're listening. You can do it. GLEIB2020.com and donate whatever you can afford, but even just $1, whatever you can afford. Because we need, it's very expensive to run campaigns when we're going against machines that have millions of dollars and we're behind schedule on it. We only have 2 weeks left to qualify for 65,000 donations. But so even $1 counts.
Okay.
Please do it. A dollar for your democracy. And let's see if it's true. Is it a lie that we still have a government by the people, of the people? Or is it true? Will they find a reason to not have me on the debate stage if we hit 65,000 donations or not? There's one easy way to find out: by $1. If you each donate $1 and get 5 or 10 of your friends to do it, in these next 2 weeks, we will hit that.
And what are you at right now?
And I'll be on the debate. I can't announce what we're at, but we have thousands. That's and we have way more to go than that. We need some kind of exponential growth and a viral moment in these 2 weeks.
So it's not a certain amount, a money amount you need. Because that was my impression. It was 65,000. It's 65,000 donations.
Donations.
65,000 people showing that they give a shit, that they want to benefit from their choices, which should be a poster with your name highlighted. And it's time to benefit.
Oh, friends of benefits.
Yeah.
220 states also has to be, but that'll just happen. I'm pretty likely.
It's so interesting that there is a lack of, I don't know, like you mentioned this early, like taking responsibility for being in this country and trying to actively participate in like having a voice. Like that is such a, I think you become more conditioned to the idea as you get older of like, oh, it's not going to matter anyway, right? Like who cares if I recycle or this thing right now? It's not going to, like what, I'm going to save one seal? It's like, or if I did, you know, it's like, yeah, dude, like all that shit does add up.
It adds
up. And especially
but if everyone does it,
right now, it's like there is, if you're not motivated by what's happening now, like what it, because I don't think we're going to see what we're seeing now for a while again, you know, at least this bad, where it's this type of, right? I mean, I would like to think so.
Let's hope, unless Trump wins again.
Which is a real possibility.
It's a very real possibility. And that's exactly why I'm doing this. Look, I if I don't win, I hope that I still, and why it's still worth your dollar, is to test our democracy and also to have a comedian in there who can weaken Trump, who can poke holes in him.
Yeah.
Even if your Republican doesn't like Trump, you should want me in the race to be able to weaken this guy, because it's more important, as James Comey, a lifelong Republican, says, we have to vote for Democrats right now just to stop the erosion of our values that's happening. So I would be able in this race to poke holes at him, to weaken him, and to show the other candidates ways you can more effectively take him on.
Yeah.
And if I just accomplish that, I will have done, I think, a lot of positive in this race, and your dollar or $5 would have gone to great use. But I hope to be able to do so much more and get all the way with this.
Well, and that's the thing that I want to stress, because I know some people might be listening to this going, how do you expect to beat a Joe Biden or a Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren that just have these machines backing them? Mm-hmm. And I would say that even if you don't, let's just get your voice out there, some other voice out there, to be able to call these politicians on their BS.
Yeah.
To be able to look at their solutions and be like, no, that's obviously not going to work. Here is why.
Right. And I'll even say that it's not so implausible that I could make it all the way and win the election, because no one knew who Mayor Pete was 3 months ago.
Yeah.
No one knew.
And now everyone knows.
Now he's one of the front runners.
Yeah, now everyone's.
You just need to catch a wave.
Yeah, and it for one of the things for him was, oh, he's the guy. He's the guy with the husband.
Yeah, he's a gay mayor, and he's really well spoken, and he served our country, which is amazing.
Yeah,
but we don't know much about what he's done or who he is or what he stands for.
Think about all the people that knew who Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was 3 years ago. Oh, wait.
Yeah.
No one outside of her family.
1.5 years ago.
Yeah.
She had 400 Twitter followers, just like her friends and community, and now she has millions and is one of the most powerful voices in American politics, and she's 29 years old.
And say anything you want about her politics. I'm open to support. I'm open to criticism about it. But I at least like what she's doing and that she's saying something else.
Yeah.
Just anything
changing
else,
the conversation.
Something new to where... And that's why I think it's okay to and good to have fresh ideas in there, because let's talk about things. Let's actually have dialogues. Let's put new ideas out there and not just have people go, no, that won't work. Yeah. Why not?
Why not? You must think that we're facing unparalleled challenges. And if we don't think out of the box and start pursuing big different things, we're never going to change them. And what are comics great at? Thinking out of the box and coming up with crazy solutions to things, crazy ideas. We think differently, and that is what is so important.
Exactly. Like my plan to end pedophilia, we give pedophiles gay dwarfs. That's thinking outside the box.
Give them away as a gift.
Yes. You can register as a pedophile. We give you a gay dwarf. Problem solved.
Do you, as the king of the dwarves, have the ability to sign off?
I've been talking about it at the meetings.
Check them out to people?
Yeah. It's basically like a library card. You can see which pedophile had this dwarf before you.
This is exactly why we need to restore our democracy, because when you have a aristocracy, you have a kingship under Brad Williams, you end up getting loaned out to pedophiles like a library card. That's why we have to bring back the core of our democracy.
Vote
it's
for
very
Ben,
simple.
Vote for Ben so Brad doesn't win.
Yes, exactly right.
Do you have a just a flat out campaign like motto or the things that, like, if you were to somebody would see the, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever it was, and they saw you running and they saw you in the street and they were like, and they gave you a little pop quiz about like, what do you like, what, you know, and they give you a very general, like, what can you do for me? And they don't get specific. Do you have like, do you sit at home thinking of, I know you're going out of your way to very much be, you know, understanding so many issues and watching documentaries and reading articles. Like, you're doing so much to try to just fill your head with so many possible answers and responses to things that people are going to ask you. But if somebody does give you just a very blanket general, like, what are you going to do? You know, like, how do you navigate that as far as, like, you know, not talking down to them or talking over them, but being like, well, fucking, like, there's a lot going on. Like, do you hone in? Do you try to size them up almost like somebody in a comedy crowd where you're like looking at what their who they are, what's going on with them, how they're dressed to like respond, or
you're saying if they're coming at me in an aggressive way?
Yeah, like
way?
In a grocery store. No, if they're just like, I saw you're gonna run, like what are you trying to do? What do you want?
Oh, I'll
do?
Answer them. I'll go back to my game show roots and just say, pass, big bucks, no whammy, stop. You're out of time. Thank you for playing. I gotta go.
This is the other thing too, man. Like I'm telling you, dude, if you got on that debate stage, dude, I'm telling you, it would be fucking like, oh my God, dude. People would not see it coming.
Donald Trump, your idiot test starts now. His game show was about firing people, and mine was about using your brain better to not be an idiot.
By the way, if you said that during the debate, you'd immediately get 10 more seasons on the game show network. By doing that, by having Trump on it.
And Netflix. We're also on Netflix.
Yeah, I know.
But let me say this. So I answer people, and I just talk to them because I'm trying to I do care about every single voter and every single person in this country, and so unless I have to go be somewhere, I'm trying to talk to everybody. I just did a town hall meeting at the La Jolla Comedy Store yesterday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 9 people showed up. Just 9. I did sold out shows all weekend and talked about politics during the act.
Did you?
I did.
Yeah.
And got into almost all hell broke loose during my last show last night.
Why?
People disagreed. This one woman disagreed with me saying the president was pro-Nazi. And she said, and I'm Jewish. And I'm like, well, you are very conflicted, ma'am, because he said there's nice people on both sides of Nazis and non-Nazis. And he was defending both sides of that. So you got to work that. And I did a bit about abortion. And a guy was like, of course, a white guy was like, I disagree. It's a human life. I'm like, we went at it for like 10 minutes. People were screaming, shouting. Some people walked out. But you got to stand up for shit. You got to stand up for what you believe in. He and I actually found a middle ground. He didn't leave, and he stayed till the end. He and I found middle ground at the end of the night. It was cool.
See,
his wife convinced us to talk again after the show.
And that's what can happen, where mm-hmm. when you actually have these dialogues
and
you don't just dig in mm-hmm. on your side and say like, nope, there is no compromise, no nothing. This is what we're doing. Nothing gets solved that way.
Yeah, and that's what I've been doing for over a year and a half now, or a year and a half, hosting We the People at the Improv and at Politicon, yeah. This monthly show where I moderate a talk with 2 on the left and 2 on the right. And even though I'm on the left, I try as hard as I can to be in the middle on this show,
sure.
And just try to find a solution on every topic, because there's no point if we just keep yelling at each other and yelling past each other. There's no damn point. No. The rent is too damn high.
there's a phrase that you've been using, and I want to know what you mean by it. Mm-hmm. Is you say compassionate?
Feel the rhythm, feel the rhyme. Get it up. It's bobsled time. And
it's bobsled time.
Yeah, you know what that's from?
Cool Runnings.
Yeah, there you go. Okay,
you president needs to know the Disney.
You
classics.
Just got sure. Adam's vote back.
Okay, good, thank God.
Compassionate capitalism.
Yes. Yeah.
What is compassionate capitalism?
That's how I label myself. I went on Fox Business Network last week, and they tried to introduce me as a compassionate socialist, because they love the battle. They're literally, the graphic was bing, capitalism versus socialism. And I'm like, I'm not a compassionate socialist. I do not label myself as a socialist. Bernie does, as a mm-hmm. democratic socialist. AOC does. I do not. I love capitalism. I love this country. My grandfather's a proud Republican. Came here literally after the years of World War II. He was in a labor camp in Siberia. Literally had to figure out how to get reunited with my grandmother when they were separated. They were in China. He had to figure out how to get her to Israel, him to Israel. They had my father there, helped reunite children's families, or children with family, help not reunite, help children separated, lost their parents in the Holocaust, find permanent homes in Israel.
Holy shit.
Then had to make his way to America, where he believed the American dream was possible. Came here with the old story of literally no money, I think $20 in his pocket, and became a millionaire in America and created a business that was able to build and provide for all of us over the course of our lives. He did that because of the capitalist system. I love that you can break out in this country.
Yes.
But it is very hard to do, and it's increasingly hard to do. And it's a lie to say that it's easier or that it's possible for everybody. And if you want, and people, and this is why the labeling of two sides is such bullshit, is if you want to get people open to big business and open to letting CEOs get paid so much more and to try brand new endeavors and new fields, you need to provide a safety net. People's risk tolerance goes way down if they're afraid they're going to fall to their death. That's mm-hmm. why you need a net there. You're going to be a lot more brave to take chances to start your own business if you know that society at least will catch you if you fall.
Mm. Yeah.
Then you're able to risk a little bit more. So we always have been both. We're both capitalist and socialist. So I say I believe in the ability to be upwardly mobile, but you need to have compassion in it mm-hmm. and be able to help people when they need help. When society's forces are so strong against them that they really need some assistance to be able to succeed in life. If we are a country with any heart at all, and I know that we are,
yeah,
you just have to be compassionate as well.
And you're right.
It pains me how serious I've had to be during this campaign. But you gotta.
And we always find out, like, we think that we don't have a heart, but then whenever we have these natural disasters and the American Red Cross needs money, we donate blood, we donate time, we donate money, we do what needs to be done. So people will reach out to people. We want to help people.
Yeah.
And just a lot of people disagree on how that should be done.
It's just far too much labeling. They keep trying. And this is another thing they don't talk much about. Bernie touches on it a lot, but they keep trying to make us fight left versus right. They keep trying to label us, make it seem like it's these little ideological differences that mean everything, and we can't ever find a middle ground. Left, right, conservative, Democrat, liberal, Republican, even red and blue. They color code us.
Yeah.
Guys, that's the exact colors of Bloods and Crips. You think that's a coincidence? That's the color.
I just got kicked out. This is a sore subject for me.
From the Bloods and Crips?
You guess. Well, no, both. I wasn't in both.
You weren't in both? You weren't like an infiltrator?
No, I was a Blood.
You were a Blood.
Yeah.
And I like to make blood with my fingers. That's something I enjoy doing. You know what I mean? Kind of like that. Yeah. Boom. Thank God you're not shooting video this episode. I did wear a suit, though. It's a little hot up here. I'm just saying. I'm going to get air in the new podcast studio. And so maybe we have a more chill political discourse if we like rebranded the parties peach and lime green. It's a suggestion.
Yeah.
I just don't think we need parties. I hate the party system.
You do? Why?
But I just think it's unnecessary to divide us among these arbitrary lines. I don't think people see things along a platform. And then it becomes so tribalistic that you feel like you feel like it's heresy to say anything that's not in the party line, and that's not how people think.
Yeah, and we find that out on Twitter so often when someone says something where they're like they're a conservative and they say something liberal, or they're a liberal and they say something conservative, then their entire team attacks them, their own team, yeah. And it's a dog eating its own tail at that point.
Yeah, they eat their own.
Yeah, it's madness that you can go, wait, I can't have one thought that's outside of whatever
our
platform is. Like, right. I feel like the vast majority of people in this country are not far right or far left. They're somewhere in the middle.
Totally.
I think that's where a lot of us lay. And why should we have to just align ourselves with all this mindset of one party or the other? I totally agree with you.
That's why my campaign theme song is, "Baby, why won't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little."
As long as
I won't sing it.
Yeah, okay.
If you can get Carly Rae Jepsen, that'd be huge. Because, look, I think presidential candidates should be judged on who musically they can attract. Mitt Romney had Meatloaf, and we all know how that ended. Mm-hmm. Okay, he probably should have brought actual Meatloaf, and that would have done better. Just plates of it. Obama had Jay-Z.
Well, I've already got one great endorsement from the music world.
Who? Okay.
The lead singer of Savage Garden, big supporter of the campaign.
No way.
Yeah.
He truly, madly, deeply loves Ben Glebe?
That's a fact.
That's amazing. Are you texting him right now?
No. Darren Hayes, lead singer of Savage Garden, big supporter, loves me, spreading the word.
All right.
We got that.
You do need bigger people like that.
And we also got Kristen Doubt from Vanderpump Rules.
Yep.
Well,
we got Adam Ray and Brad Williams.
You do.
Damn right you do. So
Nikki Glaser's on board hardcore.
Fuck yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah, we got to do some serious social media pushes in the next few days.
Please. Yeah. Thank you.
I just want to see
the Democracy Challenge.
Do a political rally with Savage Garden as your band, because every time a politician picks a song, that artist always comes out and goes like, "Whoa, do not. That's not me."
And right.
That happens every time.
Yes.
Where it's like,
"Cease and desist.
All right, so I'm Trump. I'm going to use Twisted Sisters. We're not going to take it." And then D. Snyder has to come out and be like, "Whoa."
Wait, was he using that song? That's a song that I've been using.
Oh, really?
Did he actually use that?
I think so.
Oh, I'm going to Google that, because I'm going to stop using that immediately. It's a perfect song for it.
Have you thought about the song you would come out to for the...
Of the Closet?
Do you get to come...
I have not thought about that, Adam.
Well, these are the things you need to think about.
You're not interviewing Mayor Pete right now.
These are the questions. Well, no, I'm saying, like, if you walk on stage during the debate, don't you get to come out to an intro song or no?
No, this is not the NBA All-Star game. I know that you guys have a different life experience than most.
You don't get confetti cannons?
You do not get your own song. You think they're playing 10 different songs in the candidates come out?
I don't know, dude.
Not stepping up to the plate at Dodger Stadium. It's not. I mean, that would
is something by Savage Garden. What are your so the issues, environmental issues, healthcare, global, like these are the right, these are things you have to be prepped on.
Oh, I mean, I'm prepped already on all these things.
You are.
And of course, for a debate, I would prep crazy amounts more, as all the candidates do. But I already care about these things, and I care about them just because I'm a citizen who's concerned. But you want to hear one of my ideas you were saying about ideas thinking differently, and we need
there
people with outside voices?
Yes.
There's two things. I already mentioned one of them. Two things that we need to do differently in this country and think differently about. So even Andrew Yang is one of the more out-of-the-box candidates.
Yeah. I actually really like Andrew. He was on Fox News the other day. As a Democrat, mm-hmm. going on Tucker Carlson's show, mm-hmm. and first of all, that's awesome that you're just having those two voices coming together.
Yeah,
and he offered a new idea about how to get major corporations to pay their fair share of taxes, which was it sounds out of the box to Americans, but other countries do it. Seems to work to them. And one thing that he said that I really appreciated, where he said, "I'm not mad at the corporations for not." For getting out of it, that's their job. Their job is to appease their shareholders.
Right.
So he didn't demonize them like so many other politicians do.
Yeah, and no one's trying to pay extra taxes if there are loopholes that you legally are allowed to use.
That's
people
what,
use them.
That's what literally everyone does in this country.
Sure.
Yeah. So what are your? You said you had another idea that was
So Andrew Yang mm-hmm. is the only one who's like talking about the fact that automation is going to be coming and taking away millions of jobs and taking away entire workforces.
Robots.
Robots are coming. But I think his solution is very flawed. His solution, his whole campaign is based generally on universal basic income. This idea is going to give $1,000 a month.
He did say that.
To everybody in the country. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Even millionaires and billionaires are going to get $1,000 a month. Because he thinks it's important to give the same amount to everybody so it doesn't feel like a handout to the poorer people. And I'm like, I think let's save that money. I think people can deal with the fact that if you need $1,000, you get it. If you don't, you don't. So there's that. But secondly, he said something on Rogan that I thought was so, it just kind of hit my heart in a way that I did not like. He said, I talked to a room full of industry leaders and CEOs. And I said to them, how many of you plan to automate away your workforce in the next 10 years? And they all laughed and raised their hand. So it's coming. And I was like, what do you mean, so it's coming?
What?
That's the kind of thing the president can stop.
Yeah.
You're running to be the president. You're not running to be like one out of 500 in Congress, and even then you could try to stop it. That's exactly what we need to have a conversation about. Why is it not a conversation in our country about which industries we are comfortable and not comfortable with ceding to automation? Do we want every truck on the road being a robot car? Maybe yes, maybe no. Let's discuss it. And if we decide we do, let's find a way to make all the workers land on their feet. Let's make sure all of those workers maybe can have ownership in that truck.
Yeah.
And then can be responsible for maintaining it, making sure that it's logged and making sure that it is sent in and out under your purview. Or if you have to find another job, that company can train you in the best way and pay for the training. If they're going to have the benefit of not having any payroll in the future, then they can pay to make sure that worker gets retrained in an equitable field of his choice,
yeah,
a field of the future.
For instance, you have like the debate about energy. Everyone says like, well, we can't go away from coal because then the poor coal miners will be out of work. So you would have a program to find the coal miners work or retrain them or
you would have to retrain them in just alternative energies. Those are pretty comparable fields, and you don't have to do it underground where you get black lungs. So that's one where we don't need robots take over. We need to stop being dependent on coal and on fossil fuels, and we need to shift away from that. That's just a future of the planet issue. That's not an automation issue.
Sure.
And so we need people are getting cancer in their lungs from 20 years in the cold. It's bad for them and for the planet. So that's a bit of a different issue. But yeah, we have to move away from certain dangerous industries of the past, but ones we want to keep around. I don't want to live in an America where every server at a restaurant is a robot. I like seeing people. And America's already been able to be the richest country on earth while still paying people better rates than a lot of these third world countries that abuse human labor. Yeah. So we don't have to get rid of human labor. We can still be the one place, even if the rest of the world does it, that you can come to see humans at jobs. Mm. We actually value people.
Can you maybe we could get to a point where we advertise that? Like, you can still see humans here.
We
like
got
a theme park
here.
That's like slowly dying, but they're like, we still got Goofy, remember?
It'll be the opposite of Westworld.
Yeah.
The one place you go where you actually have real people
Right,
working
right.
at jobs, not robots.
Imagine if Disneyland, like, all the people were like those guys that, like, you shoot and, like, they look up and they start playing the piano. Like, if everybody was just
like the Country Bear Jamboree.
I'm here with my family.
Yeah, the mouth does that. Not match at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But that shows you how out of touch and small thinking these politicians are. All of them. No one's saying we should discuss whether we want to eliminate human workforces. Have you never seen all science fiction stories ever? Letting the robots take over never ends well.
Never.
No one predicts that
robot?
Going well.
Yeah. Right? Do you think Will Smith is going to be around to save us?
Right?
He's not.
Jayden? Will Smith, the bouncer from,
yeah.
from the Buffalo Helium.
Yeah, he will.
So that's one.
We'll save us.
Here's another one that is a proposal of mine that I think nobody in power currently thinks about this kind of systemic change. Not only do we need prison reform, we need to not make it a school-to-prison pipeline where we punish inner-city people and we punish people that are selling weed to be able to provide for their families and put them in jail forever.
That's so stupid.
Not only is that needed to be, it's one of the few good things Trump did is some amount of prison reform, but...
By the way, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Because I thank you for saying one thing good.
Yeah.
Because I don't like people that look at a Donald Trump or look at an AOC and say that everything they do is bad. No, not every, like, a blind mouse can find a nut, or a blind squirrel can find a nut every now and then. Like,
a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yes, there are some things that certain people do that are good, and so thank you for willing to admit that.
Of course, always on my podcast, I've given Trump lots of credit for little things he's done that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very few and far between.
Sure.
But, the other policy that I have that's very out of the box, but I can't believe we have a society that doesn't obviously do this. You want to end corporate crime? You want to end rich people and corporations screwing the everyman?
Mm-hmm.
Combine white-collar prisons with blue-collar prisons. Literally put them in the same damn jail. You will have your prison reform in 6 months. You think these preppy... soft, prissy dudes are going to survive a week in these prisons?
In Oz?
And why, right. And why are they punished less? Why do they get to go to country club-ass jails?
Yeah.
They don't even lock the doors on some of these.
Yeah.
Literally, that's like your library book, check in, check out. Mm-hmm. They don't lock the doors. They affect millions of lives. Hundreds of thousands of people. They screw with their life savings, with the economy, with people's livelihood. People kill themselves over stuff like that. Suicides happen because somebody greedy at the top of a company decided to steal their money, and that gets punished less than a guy that sold weed in his neighborhood. And he's put in with rapists and murderers, but not the guy that's affecting millions. And that's the kind of thing, as Cenk Uygur acknowledged the other day when he had me on the Young Turks talking about this, part of that the mainstream media would say, that's not a serious idea. But why isn't it?
Yeah.
Why don't we create systemic change? We'll never have a country that values and prioritizes the everyday person if we do not.
Yeah.
And the other way we take back our democracy, flying back the other idea that's popped back in my head, is we put a firm line down in the sand against foreign interference in our elections for once, except aside from the way Trump does it, who's like, listen, I don't see any problem with Russia. They might want to affect the election again. Maybe it'll help me. Maybe it won't. But I'm not bringing it up when I meet with them. Why? I like a shirtless Putin on a horse. I want to get on that horse.
Maybe a goat. Maybe one nip showing. Maybe two. Maybe three. Does he have a third nip?
I love a strong man nip slip. I love it. I'm sorry. I love it.
Janet Jackson did it. I'd love to see Putin do it. I'd love to see Putin sing Escapade.
I want to see Justin Timberlake rip off a pasty from the nipple of Vladimir Putin and hear Vladimir Putin reply by saying, Escapade, we have a good time. Escapade, leave all your worries behind.
That is fucking crazy. That is so obvious when he refuses to, like, do stuff that we're like, hey, man, this is fucked up. And he's like, nah, it's probably all good. It's like, do you realize how guilty that makes you look?
So guilty. It's so... on the very basic level, he has committed treason in front of our eyes, and because it's in front of our eyes, we don't take it seriously. I'm honestly getting very frustrated with Nancy Pelosi that she does not call for impeachment.
Why isn't she doing it?
I know it'll be divisive. She thinks it'll be divisive, and it's going to cost a lot of money and run up to the election. It'll give him a talking point, and it might. It'll give him a talking point to rally his base to say, they're trying to throw me out even though I was found innocent by the Mueller report. And that's her calculus. But there's still a rule of law, even if this, and because the Senate will not kick him out because they're Republicans in the Senate still. But the House is controlled by Democrats, and we'll set a precedent where basically are allowing a president to do whatever the fuck he wants to do if we do not put a firm line down and saying this kind of behavior cannot stand. And you see her saying, our president's involved in a cover-up of a crime, but not impeaching him? How do you put those two together?
It's the most insane thing ever that if it was any Democrat, it'd happen like that, dude.
Well, yeah, one of them the last one got impeached for getting a blowjob.
Yeah, for a blowjob.
Is it
everybody's favorite thing?
Even Pelosi's. How do you put all your focus? Like, is it tough to not when you're trying to prep for? You know, answering questions on everything and just to be as prepped as you can for every aspect of a campaign. Is it tough, though, to not pay attention to things like the Mueller report and, like, waiting and being like, God, like, things will be... Like, how much energy do you expend on hoping that all that info just comes to the surface at the right time and obstruction and all these things just kind of pan out the way... I mean, if like every day a new bomb is dropped and then it fizzles out and the smoke clears and we go, all right, let's wait for that next bomb. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's a bigger bomb that drops... And really does the damage that we're hoping for. You know, like, because to William Barr to just not show up and to
right.
and to clearly have falsely summarized the report. And then, and Mueller's like, yeah, dude, there was a lot of shit in there that he did not. Like, I'm like, well, cool, then take that. Like, then why aren't we taking that info? And
right.
and I don't know. It just seems like they're like, well, hopefully soon that like, you
and
know.
So you're
just,
asking how much time do I do?
Do you spend focusing on that stuff versus just trying to turn a blind eye to it right now and focus on the stuff that is, you know, really, I guess, affecting day-to-day people?
I spend very little time caught up in that drama. I watch the news every day and I just get a quick, and I read a few articles and I get a quick summary of what that's about. But I'm just focused on talking to everyday people and bringing my policy ideas to them, listening to them and shaping new policy ideas. Like, I came out with a lot of policies right off the bat. A lot of these candidates still do not even have an issue on their website. Tulsi Gabbard, I like her, I met her, not one issue on her website.
Wow.
And she's a major person, considered a major person, already qualified for the debates. It's ridiculous to me. And there are all these women running who are seem to be great public servants, but I'm the only person calling for a constitutional amendment to protect a woman's right to choose. Why don't we take bold actions to codify in our laws and in our constitution the things that we've been fighting back and forth for ad nauseum forever? We must protect, and we need, and people are going to say, why is a white man, and I'm kind of white, kind of not, half Israeli, Jewish, not the most white in the world, but but why is a dude the one that's going to be that we need to stand up for women? Because I think exactly we need that. Because I think exactly during a time
when lead by example.
People exactly when people are attacking women, of course women are standing up against that because it's in their self-interest. But we also need men to stand up for the women in our society, because it's not morals if you only stand up for it when it impacts you directly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's morals when you stand up for it as a principle, whether it affects you or not.
You think
I personally will never get an abortion. I'm against it for myself.
Yeah.
But that does not mean I'm not going to stand up for, because I can't get one, is exactly why we should not legislate it.
Yes.
Men should not pass rules about women's bodies.
So you're saying that you've never had one?
I've never had one. I'm talking about
never,
publicly.
You've never been pregnant?
I've never been pregnant, no.
Shocking.
I've never been pregnant. I did, though, watch twice Arnold Schwarzenegger's movie, Junior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. So I feel like I know the experience of being pregnant as through a man's penis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wasn't DeVito in that, too?
Was he also in that?
I think he was
in Twins, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
He was one of the great movies.
There's something in Arnold's contract where he's like, I need to see DeVito at some point in this process.
One of the best lines in Twins is very beginning when DeVito's parked in a handicapped spot and the cop's giving him a ticket. And he's like, what's it going on? He's like, you're parked in a handicapped spot. And DeVito looks up at him and goes, do I look normal to you?
Wow. That's pretty good DeVito, too.
Thank you.
I'm gonna start using that. Granted, I have a handicap placard, so I can, but yeah.
Prove it.
Okay.
Gun control.
Yeah.
That, to me, is one of the most debatable issues and the most like controversial, because, I mean, dude, I can't even believe how normal shootings are now. It's fucking crazy to me that literally, like, where I'll see one in a headline and I react the way that I always do, where it's just like, oh, God damn it. And I read too many details and look at all the pictures and I just get, like, consumed by it.
Yeah, you're and then usually I just, jovial social media all of a sudden gets real serious. Yeah, and I love when you do that.
And then I just move on, you know? And it's like, because you just go, and there's been times when I see one and I go, oh, like, it just feels like too part of the routine.
Yeah.
There's too many times when you read it and you go, oh, well, only four people died. Only six.
Yeah, dude. You start to equate it like that, where you're like, all right, this one wasn't as bad. Like,
yeah.
And you start to kind of compare.
We make double digits, so we're okay.
Well, that's how desensitized we've become in our country, is we only take notice when our tragedies have big opening weekends. It's like movies. It's like we need a big number, like 12,000 people a year are killed by gun violence, yet we don't talk about it as a systemic problem. But when 14 people get killed at once, that's all we talk about. Yeah. We need the big media moment to occur for us to take notice. So are you asking me what I would do?
What would you, if you got in that debate and when you get in that debate?
So here's where I think it's so important on all these issues, but especially the most hot button ones like abortion and gun control and even the climate. You have to find ways to talk to both sides, because we need both sides to pass legislation. So you have to acknowledge the points that are so dear to the other side where you can. And so when I talk about gun control, and I talk about it in my act too, I say, look, I like guns. Our country is based on having guns. Mm-hmm. It's in the Constitution. I believe it should be there. I like to shoot guns sometimes. I'm thinking about getting a gun. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think guns are cool. Kids are cooler. I think it's more important to protect kids.
Wait, are you saying that you value the life of a child more than you having a gun?
And the life of dwarves.
Controversial statement from Ben Glebe.
It's very true. That's why you and I are such close friends, Brad. You remind me of a child in some ways. And I want to protect you and hold you close.
Yeah.
Truly, madly, deeply. So you have to talk about it in a way that makes them understand that you would never take their guns away. You're not going to infringe on the right to bear arms.
Because that's what they jump in with.
That's what they are.
You're
so
gonna take them
of.
Away.
You're going to take away our guns. I'm like, I want to, because I'm about to buy a gun any day now, I think. And if I can make the time, it's been so busy in the campaign. I want to have one for protection. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll make an important point that I'm not against guns. I don't want to let anybody take my gun away either. What I do want to do is protect our children. What I do want to do is have common sense gun control that 90% of people are down with. Yeah. Common sense gun reform with common sense background checks. There's just some obvious things. It should not be easier to get a gun than it is to get a driver's license. This should not be easier. There's so many things you have to go through to get a driver's license, and this is a weapon of mass murder that we're talking about here with a gun. So also, why are you against a background check? If you need a gun right now, maybe waiting a few days is the best move possible. Go to a yoga class.
Yeah.
Then come back Friday and get your gun.
There's a certain massage parlor that's located on Melrose.
Yeah, Robert Kraft's all about it.
We should send you there if you still want to shoot someone after that.
Right.
Well, okay.
Shoot a different load first.
Also, on a side note, that guy's pushing 80. If he wants a finger in his butt, let him do what he wants.
Victimless crimes. We got to stop bothering people with victimless crimes. They're on the news. They're like, a judge decided not to release the footage. It's an outrage. No, you're going to release it. Old man hand job footage? God. Let him have his...
Yeah, geez. The moment he asked for a finger in his butt, dude, I mean, like, would I click on it? Of course. Do I want to see it? Yeah, but am I going to lose sleep at night?
A little bit. It'll infiltrate your dreams, probably, but...
Yeah.
Look, that's the least bad thing he does. He supports Trump. He's... Let his hand job part of the parlor is not the biggest problem.
Pick your battles too.
Yeah.
But with gun control.
Wait, so gun. So let me just finish what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so,
this is big.
So you need to have common sense background checks. You need to have, it just seems common sense. We could all agree that we should just make sure you're not a super crazy person or a criminal. And if you disagree with that, then you're probably a super crazy person or a criminal. You don't get your opinion weighed as much on this one.
Right.
We're not going to put a gun in your hands. And it just also seems like common sense that you shouldn't be able to get a gun faster than you can get toilet paper on Amazon Prime. So a common sense amount of time to wait. If we can wait 2 days to wipe our butts, we can wait a few days to get a gun they're going to have forever.
That's so funny, but so fucking spot on, dude.
Yeah.
We just have to protect people, and we don't need huge high-capacity magazines.
Where do you think this lack of caring for people comes from in some of these people, where they straight up can't see the amount of killings that happen and go and know and see these facts on other countries that will have these legislations with guns and then kind of overnight not fix the problem, but like what Australia, what is it? Was it Sweden? New Zealand.
Yeah, New Zealand after the Auckland shooting.
That straight up make those changes and then minimize the casual. It's like, don't. Why wouldn't you follow suit like that?
And it's just so much of our background. It's Republicans play on their fear
they
and
do.
Say that you that in case the government rises up, because they want small government, so they think if the government ever rises up, you have your citizen militia that can, and that's a hard argument to argue against. Oof. And
your emergency pack.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of those. I need to replenish mine. But you need to just make people realize it's so much a part of our culture. Westworld is based on America. Yeah. Like, we were the Wild West, you know? People like their guns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think having guns is a problem. The problem is responsible gun ownership, keeping it out of the wrong hands, making sure that all gun sales, all gun transfers are registered, even private sales.
Yeah.
You have to register that. But they fight that too. I was in a gun shop in Dallas, Texas recently talking to them about gun control. Not only did they think Trump never lies about anything, but they also said that they vehemently are against private registration of private sales because they want to be able to pass guns around without the government knowing, because if the government ever collects all the guns, they won't know where they all are. And so
it just seems like a hyper paranoia.
It's hyper paranoia.
And it's sort of like what you say, where it's like, if you're that, like, I don't worry that my Alexa is listening to me because I'm not saying anything crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying anything that would incriminate right. myself or anything crazy. I'm not worried about.
But it is creepy when Alexa chimes into a conversation when she was not invited in.
Yeah,
that's. We're talking, all of a sudden she's like, I don't have an opinion on that.
You're like, what?
You did not never ask fucking asked nothing.
Yet. Yeah. But you know, so like,
I think Robert Kraft should share a video. All
right, well, the same
nothing
way
a robot
see.
Woman likes more than a hand job video taken from a grainy surveillance camera.
But I like that you're coming up with ideas. I like that you're willing to talk to both sides. I like that you're not just hammering the same talking points that every single candidate is hammering from the left. I like that you're going places that a lot of people won't go.
Here's a new idea just popped in my head. What do you guys sure. want to throw out there? Yeah. Handjob Fridays.
Wow. Well, we used to have Pizza Boat Fridays at Lake Forest Park Elementary.
I'm upping that one yeah. level.
I mean, one very if it's hand, level. If it's Handjob Fridays, then the official national anthem will have to change to Everybody's Looking Forward to the Weekend, because that's all we're going to do. We're like, come on, Friday.
Or Everybody Clap Your Hands.
Clap one of your hands.
Yeah.
What's the sound of one hand clapping? America.
I love that, man.
Oh, fuck. What has been the most challenging thing of all of this yeah. and prepping for it? Like, this is one of the, when you kept teasing this online with, like, I got a big announcement, mm-hmm. a lot of people jokingly were like, you know, would you get a show? Are you coming out? Like, are you, you know, did you get a show about coming out?
God, my money was on coming out.
Yeah, are you hosting?
You guys know me very well. It's
are
very
you, are you hosting
it's a little hurtful.
Wild and Crazy Kids. You know, so you knew Omar women, Gooding. What's yeah. that?
You know how much I'm all about the yeah. women in my life. And the, you both thought I was coming out of the closet. So that's yeah, not okay, go ahead. Nothing's anything wrong with it, but you know it's not me. Yeah, and it's yeah, hurtful. Yeah. I thought you knew. Maybe y'all want me. Is that what it is?
Listen. Your girlfriend is way too hot for you.
The best.
Way too hot.
Agreed.
Way beyond your level. Agreed. So we just assume.
Funny kills,
we
dude.
Just assume that you were paying her and that she was your beard.
I didn't say I'm not paying her. But.
She's honest. But like, was there a moment of just like, how can you break down the, I don't know if it's anxiety, but the anticipation of like knowing that you were going to announce this and then it's real, right? Ooh. Once you post it and you're like, I'm doing it, I've got to fucking go.
Yeah.
I mean, you already don't sleep enough, I feel like, so I don't know. You look rested, so I feel like you're finding pockets, but like, does it consume you to where you're like, I can't, this was the wrong decision, or are you just so committed to getting it? You know, to where you want to be with this, that you, because you have a very, and anything you do, you put 110% into it, more so, I'd say. So, what have been the biggest challenges, I guess, with all this and trying to get to where you want to be?
It's a great multi-tiered question. I appreciate that.
I love to
all right,
ask
Leslie
a question.
Stahl.
Yeah.
If I knew who that was, I'd be flattered.
60 minutes.
We're old. I'm more of a 30-minutes guy. Rachel Ray, 30 minutes or less.
Your girlfriend told me you were an 8-minutes guy.
Yeah. That's a lot. Fucking, I'll take that. You're acting like I should be offended. Yeah.
So it's been a lot challenging with this. It's been a lot that's been amazing about this. The most challenging two things since having announced is how much there is to do. I've never, for a sustained period of time, slept less. It's been very challenging. I had to sleep a decent amount this weekend because my body was breaking down already. And like, I've been like pushing away this like cough that was like worse than a cough. And so I right before I came here, I was on my couch. I needed to finish watching the news, and I just had to take a 20-minute nap. I was just so beat.
Yeah.
So it's that. It's round the clock. Being a true grassroots campaign, being the only one, I think, in this whole race mm-hmm. that is not funded by big machines with millions of dollars, we're doing everything ourselves. Like I said, I'm working on the logo. I'm working on the flyers. Before my big kickoff event at the Improv, my girlfriend and I were literally working on the font on these flyers to make sure it didn't look blurry and make sure we convinced the printing company to let us extend the deadline so we could pick it up and get it there on time. Organize the volunteers. We've had so many people volunteering around the country, so many people donating around the country and saying to us that they're inspired by this campaign. I donated. I'm telling friends to donate. We want to make sure you get on that debate stage. It's so much I'm trying to reach out to. I still haven't been able to make the time to reach back out to all the volunteers that are writing, obviously, because you're running a presidential campaign. And let me just say one more time, because of that, to get more money so we have an actual ability to sustain this and keep moving forward and compete and get the word out there, and to get on that debate stage, we only have 2 weeks to get 65,000 unique donations, even of $1 or whatever you can afford. Please go to glebe2020.com right now. Take 1 minute while you're listening to this, while you're watching this, whatever it is, and please just donate for your democracy and see if they will allow an outside voice on that stage. It's so important. The hardest part has been, that's the other part of it, trying to get respected by the mainstream media. Alternative outlets and podcasts are having me on, and some TV, like smaller TV networks, CNN will have me on, MSNBC will have me on. I had an exchange with an anchor who said to me, you need to hit a certain threshold before you can get the exposure. But I realize you need the exposure to hit that threshold, and it's a catch 22.
Yeah.
Let me talk to producers. And so far, I still haven't heard back again. And I'm saying you're putting your foot on the scale. You are not allowing democracy to be real. You cannot anoint as the media who will be the candidates. You shouldn't have a brand in your news. The news should be you report what happens, not this person doesn't fit our predetermined narrative.
Yeah.
And that's why the democracy challenge is so important, is if you can just give $1, we're not asking for your endorsement for my campaign. Mm. We are literally just asking for you to give a dollar or whatever you can afford at glebe2020.com just to see if indeed an outside voice will be allowed on the debate stage.
Yeah.
That's all. Then let's have a wider exchange of ideas come out when you have more voices than just career politicians and multimillionaires out there. So it's been very challenging trying to crack through to the mainstream media, which makes it very hard to reach people. It makes it very hard to get 65,000 donations, and we only have 2 weeks left to get there. So that, combined with the amount of things to tackle, the lack of sleep's been incredibly challenging.
Well, for someone who's not sleeping, you're making insanely amounts of good sense right now.
Thank you, man.
So
maybe a stunt. Yeah. Is there some sort of stunt? Like a
if you got ideas, I'm all ears.
Well, streaking buck. Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory once told me when Mad TV was out, he's like, buddy, maybe you and Amir duct tape yourself to the front door of Laugh Factory, say, we, until you watch Mad TV, we will not untape ourselves. Maybe toss Brad Williams off roof onto trampoline.
He's just trying to kill me.
Wearing t-shirt that says, watch Mad TV.
Well, he wasn't even on Mad TV, so he was really throwing Brad to the wolves there.
Yeah.
Jay Masada also like
throwing me into traffic, but
well, sometimes there's wolves.
Yeah.
And Jay Masada one time gave me the suggestion when we were doing the early days of what became Comedy Juice. He called me into his office and he says, "Buddy, what you're doing, very, very fun. You do a sketch on stage, but I don't know. Don't connect. Here's a suggestion. You bring out blow up doll on stage. You say to crowd, you want to meet my girlfriend, and it's blow up doll. It's girlfriend." And I said, okay, I duly noted. I'm going to write that idea down and then burn that paper. never speak of this again.
And save it for a campaign debate.
Yeah.
And that's how you know you're going to be a great president, because you were able to see a horrible idea and not go, well, we got to look at both sides of this. We got to look at it positive. Right. No, you're able to look, no, that's fucking stupid. Let's move on and let's get some good ideas going.
But don't make the person feel like it was stupid.
Yeah.
I like, I'm under advisement. Thank you. And then the hardest part about this leading up to it, and the biggest regret that I have, is that I didn't start earlier, because I've had this idea for close to 2 years. I've been thinking about it, and I just kept rejecting the call because it's such an cataclysmic shift from what our lives are. And our lives are really hard work, but also a lot of fun and loose. And we're not trying to, you know, go out there and try to save the world. And I decided I'm going to throw my hat into the ring and try to do that and try to see if I could add value. And it's been, I knew that it was such a huge jump that it would be a nonstop thing until it until it goes all the way or it ends. And so I had to just really prepare mentally to do that. And like I feel weird. The hard thing is too is I don't want to like I mean, my friends have been generally very supportive, but like you guys are my boys.
Yeah.
And like I'm not gonna be able to probably make it to, you know, our Tuesday drinking night for a while, and I don't want you guys thinking like, oh, Ben's politician now.
Hilarious.
That's a bummer.
No, because you're gonna make me secretary of the lower interior. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Listen, I love that you've given yourself several cabinet positions during this podcast.
You could be head of the cabinet, of the cereal cabinet.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. You could be the Lucky Charms guy.
Exactly. Please.
You are magically delicious. Everybody knows that about you.
Give me the damn commercial.
What about trying to reach the millennial base? Is that like tough? Do you think millennials are going to vote less or more in this like upcoming election? Like that was such a big selling point with, you know, Obama, like really getting that young audience. Like, how do you? I think they're pretty woke, right? But have they gotten disinterested because of what's going on?
Well, we just had the best youth turnout ever in 2018. And I think it's going to only climb, and it'll only climb even more significantly if you have a comedian, former rapper in the
come on.
On the primary ballots. I think maybe you're going to have a better turnout. But I really do think people get disenfranchised when they don't relate to the people. You know, when you're in trouble with people relating to millennials as candidates, when Bernie Sanders is the one that's doing that best, and he's 154 years old.
Know, people don't
that's
know
his
that.
Birth certificate.
Everyone thinks he's
my great 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 grandfather.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Yeah. So, you know, it's challenging.
Well, and here's the thing.
I hope we do indeed motivate them to come out. We need them to come out. If you have the youth, you have the future.
Yep. And that's what you're doing is you're bringing new and innovative ideas to the same old, same old. And we really appreciate that. And we know that, like, you care about politics, don't care about politics. Let's shake it up a bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's just have something different.
And you know what else? That's what people did with Trump a lot. They wanted to shake it up. And I understand the instinct, and I respect it. But shaking up the system is not enough. You got to shake it in the right direction. Mm-hmm. That's something people overlook as a big part of it. And the other frustrating thing, that's not even just mainstream news that's not having me on. One of the most frustrating things, if you guys saw my announcement video, I assume you did, right?
Yeah.
Starts with that Bill Maher clip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bill Maher starts by saying, and I quote, "We need someone who can shred Trump like a stand-up does a heckler, because Trump is a heckler. And to defeat him, we need a comedian." And Maher won't have me on. I'm the only comedian in his show 3 other times and said, "We need a comedian.
Fuck, that would help so much.
We need a comedian." Rogan won't have me on. Maher won't have me on. I don't understand it. Why are these comics so self-hating? I know we're self-hating, but it's like...
Is there a competition? What is the
like,
reason to...
Rogan literally said to me, "You're a comedian." I'm like, "You're a comedian? Like, what is the problem?" And nobody has to have me on their podcast if they don't believe in it, but ask me some questions first. Don't assume because I'm a comedian.
Also, isn't it a fascinating, curious. Like Rogan too is, I feel like, prides himself on interesting chats.
Right.
With fascinating people.
I would love for him to challenge me on air for 2 hours.
This hasn't happened. Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude.
Let him challenge me and tell me on air he doesn't think I want to be taken seriously, and I'll debate it until I'm blue in the face and he can make a determination.
That is the type of discussion I feel like that is, you know, what his podcast is built on.
Right. So, I might have just caught him on an off day or something. Maybe. I don't know.
Keep at it, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting to that point, and that's why we encourage all of our listeners to go and be one of these 65,000 donations. Yeah. Like I said, $1.
Thank you.
Glebe2020.com.
Yes, that is the website. You can hear more about my positions there and click that donate button. I have not been able to see all of the donations, but Adam just gave an incredibly generous donation to the campaign. It means so much to me.
Of course, man.
Brad, I know you're about to. And yep. So I'm very, very touched by both of your contributions to the Glebe 2020 cause.
You're damn right.
Get you to the fucking debates, dude. Yeah.
That's all. And that's all we're asking. That's all we want.
Let's see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, there was a movie made about Robin Williams being the comedian who gets elected. There was a comedian that was elected in
the Ukraine. You don't think there's a precedent for this? Ukraine, less about 1 month ago, was elected over the incumbent president of Ukraine.
Yeah.
This comedian named Zelensky literally just won by a landslide.
Right.
He had no political experience. He just played the president on a show and won by 75% of the vote.
Yes.
I have tons of political experience. Yeah. I've been a political commentator for over a decade, about 12, 13 years. NPR, CNN, Fox News, mm-hmm. ABC News. I've been a co-anchor of ABC News Digital. My podcast is about politics. I am immersed in this. I used to write occasionally for the Huffington Post. I have made it my mission to try to get people to see eye to eye on our politics, to awaken their interest in politics for people who never have. That's why on Last Week on Earth, my podcast, I even make it dirty and gritty and,
yeah.
and so that people that don't give a shit about news networks that just talk over their heads or talk down to them would be interested in politics. And so don't you want someone with that kind of passion who hasn't yeah. done it? And I'll say this too, to all the politicians, people say to me, oh, but shouldn't you run for a lower office first? No, because I don't think you can be very effective oftentimes in Congress. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. And we don't have time. I'm running to stop Trump. I'm running because we might lose again. We might have better ideas. It might have ideas that help the country more, would help them if we won, and we might lose again because Trump is a P.T. Barnum. He's the best trash talker, media manipulator, spinner in the world, and you might need an entertainer in there who's dealt with 19 years of hecklers and any crowd and any situation and spinning it always to a victory. Like you said, I've done these 8 shows where I improvised the entire show live on Facebook.
Yeah.
Seen by almost 4 million people in the 8 straight shows I did basically an hour. And not basically, an hour every single week for 8 straight cities improvised, all different. I can handle any situation thrown at me, and I might have a better ability to take down treasonous Trump, to stop crybaby Donnie, to make sure toupee fiasco does not get another term, to make sure Coward the Duck finally sits down.
You want your nicknames? We got your nicknames.
We got your nicknames. I'll throw them right back at you, bro. This is not a time for politeness. No. I disagree with Michelle Obama's when they go low, we go high. Not when the democracy's at stake. When they go low, that's a great chance to step on them because they're down there now. And you get your ideas to win. It's so important. So when people say that they automatically take seriously the Congress people and the senators running, but not the comedian running, I say to them, I supported Cory Booker's run for the Senate, and he's running. And I like Cory Booker. He seems like a great dude. Mm-hmm. But, and Rosario Dawson's girlfriend, hats off to that. His ex-girlfriend, Eric Andre, used to date Rosario Dawson, and now Cory Booker. First of all, you see that link there? Comedian, presidential candidate,
potential
very
first lady.
Smart woman, dated yeah. both, realizes they're both legitimate people to have as somebody you take seriously. Yeah, hey, right. That's not my main point. My main point is this. I supported Cory Booker's run for the Senate. I went to a fundraiser, I donated to his campaign, and it was a private house in the hills. Something I'm trying not to do in my campaign is to, all these candidates, by the way, are spending 4 or 5 hours a day calling rich people, asking for money. They say that they're fighting for everyday people, and all of them, except for Elizabeth Warren and me, is calling 5 hours a day rich people begging for money and doing huge dollar fundraisers. Mm-hmm. I'm asking for $1 or $5 or $10 Jesus. Or $20. That's what I'm doing.
You're a bargain. You're like a headliner doing like a weekend for, you know, 6 shows for like a $400.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders, $27 average. My average is $8.68. So I'm giving you about a 66% discount off of Bernie Sanders, $27. But so I supported Cory Booker. And then he gave the speech and the event about all the things he wanted to fix in the country in the Senate. I raised my hand and I said, but we know, and Natalie Portman was standing right next to me during this. It was ended up being a seminal moment in my life for many reasons. I messed my chance up with Natalie Portman. Yeah, I digress. Remember the story.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and I got to finally see her again at the Telethon for America, and I was going to ask her about that night. And then
Chelsea fucked it up.
But I said to him, you're saying all these things you want to do, but we all know that Congress is broken and the Senate is broken, and you're going to go in there and not going to be able to accomplish most of these things. You're going to run to your respective cable networks and complain about it, and it's just a perpetual cycle of that. So why even say it? It was a bold question to ask. I had a couple drinks in me.
Very, very much so.
And Cory Booker said, well, you know, that's fair. Our Congress is pretty broken. Our system is pretty broken. And you can often be more effective as an artist or an activist. So that's the path that I chose, to be an artist and remain being an artist and an activist. So by Cory Booker's own reasoning, I'm more qualified to be president than he is. And I would say that in a debate when they ask me.
Wow. I love that, man.
Are you qualified to be president?
Glebe 2020. Go to the site. Donate anything that you can. $1. Let's get him in the debates. Let's shake things up. Let's call these politicians on their bullshit, whether they're on the right or the left. It doesn't matter what side you are on. You should be on the side of America.
And that is the side that Ben Glebe is
on. And let's take back our democracy. You're not going to get our voice back if you don't start electing people who look like you and who care about you and who are you.
Yeah, and speak like you.
Yeah. Fuck right. Fuck right. No one's ever said fuck right. Fuck yeah, I meant to say. See, we mess up. We're fuck just right, like us.
If you're a porn star named like Will Pounder, that's your platform. You got to fuck right.
Ben Glebe's platform is compassionate capitalism and fuck right. You heard it here first on the About Last Night podcast.
Glebe2020.com. Yep. Glebe2020.com. Just a buck, dude.
Thank you, guys. You're so dope.
You're going to get there, dude. I believe.
Thank you.
I'm not a hugely spiritual man, but I'm going to pray.
Thank you.
I'm going to pray just so that we can make it today. Who said that?
We've MC Hammer.
Yeah.
I'm a regular
That's
dude,
why
bro.
He's qualified. That's why he's present.
Right there, a Hammer reference.
We are now about to break it down.
It's Hammer, go Hammer, MC Hammer, yo Hammer, and the rest can go and play. You can't touch this. That's our slogan.
Good night!
That's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know. But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that Brad Williams and Adam Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?